This is Mythical.
We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. From Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans, they've got you covered.
Heck yeah, they do. Their products come in a variety of amazing colors, from classic black and white to pinks, greens, yellows, and blues. And the best part, Nicole, everything's non-toxic.
Josh, I've been in the market for a kettle for months.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about it a weird amount.
Yeah, I've bought like a bunch, returned a bunch, but I just got my hands on the Great Jones Fellow Kettle collab, and I got it in the color broccoli, and I'm so excited to make artisanal teas and coffees. I'm trying to get on my coffee game right now, and I'm so excited to use a gooseneck kettle. We have no idea.
I'm excited to use their yellow hot dish, aka casserole dish. Shout out to Minnesota and Fargo, North Dakota. I'm at that point in my life where I'm like, I'm an adult, I should have nice vessels to serve food out of.
Sure, fair.
Instead of just serving it on like stainless steel restaurant style things. And I like it. It's cute. It's got a good design. Bakes really well. Holds heat. I'm in, baby. And once you try Great Jones, you'll want to share it with friends. They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays, it's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life.
So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old, rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code SANDWICH. That's greatjones.com, promo code SANDWICH.
Hey, if this podcast sounds a little bit different, we're doing this from home again because Josh keeps forgetting to bring his mic back to the studio.
Despite being the biggest Chicago icon since Kanye West, there's no more maligned Midwest food than the deep dish pizza. Whether you love it or hate it, you still have to answer the question, is it even a pizza at all, or is it, God help us, a casserole? This is a hot dog as a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Ayer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizadeh.
And today, Nicole, we are taking on, this is a hot button topic. This is maybe the most controversial thing that we have ever talked about on the show, and I'm so very excited for it. So we are talking about whether or not deep dish pizza actually qualifies as a pizza or if it should be considered a casserole. And this was brought up. I know, it's a huge thing, and something that I likely never would have thought about if it was not for Jon Stewart's epic rant about it, which I shall now read in its entirety. And stay buckled up if you're in a car. What do we mean, stay buckled up?
How long is it?
Oh, it's super long. The podcast in general, it's like 45 minutes too long.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Okay, now I shall read Jon Stewart's epic anti-deep dish pizza rant in its entirety. Okay, I was going to be nice, but now you've gone too far. So let me explain something. Deep dish pizza is not only not better than New York pizza, it's not pizza. It's a freaking casserole. I'm surprised you haven't thought to complete your deep dish pizza by putting some canned onion rings on top of it. It's a cornbread biscuit which you melted cheese on, and then in defiance of God and man and all things holy, you've poured uncooked marinara sauce atop the cheese. Atop the cheese. On top the sauce, naked cold, on display like some sort of sauce whore. Damn it. You know the expression, there's no such thing as bad sex or bad pizza? Your pizza is like sex with a corpse made of sandpaper. Let me tell you something. This is not pizza. This is tomato soup in a bread bowl. This is an above-ground marinara swimming pool for rats. Let me tell you something about your freaking not pizza. I want to know, when I get drunk and pass out on my pizza, that I'm not going to drown. Let me tell you something. I look at this. Look at this. Look at this, you son of a biscuit. When I look at this, gabagoo. I look at this. When I look at your deep dish freaking pizza, I don't know whether to eat it or throw a coin in it and make a wish. And I'd make a wish. It would be that I would wish for some real freaking pizza. Now, in all due respect, I realize it's very cold in Chicago. Very cold, it's windy. You need to be able to, I don't know, have a pizza and maybe cut it open and climb inside of it like a tauntaun to keep you warm. Seriously, who you kidding? Who uses an iron skillet to make a pizza? You don't use an iron skillet to make a pizza. You use an iron skillet to fend off someone who tries to serve you a freaking pizza made with a skillet. Here's how you know I'm right. You call it Chicago-style pizza. You call it deep dish pizza, stuffed pizza. You know what we call it? You know what we call this? We call it pizza. Oh, that's nice. And by the way, you don't put tomatoes and celery salt on freaking hot dogs either. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows there's three acceptable condiments for a hot dog. There's mustard, onions, and stagnant hot dog cart water. That's it. Wow. Jon Stewart, in a way that only Jon Stewart can do. I'd like to hear Trevor Noah's version of the anti-deep dish rant. But, I mean, that's huge shot fires. Jon Stewart's a New Yorker. He's got strong views. Chicago deep dish pizza, obviously a far cry from New York pizza. Do you think it's far enough to be called a casserole?
What New York person doesn't have strong opinions on pizza? Have you ever met someone that's from New York and eats an L.A. slice and like, this is garbage patouille? I feel like every New Yorker has big opinions about pizza, but no, I think I believe that deep dish pizza is still a pizza. The quantities might be a little confusing to the average person, but at the end of the day, it is dough, it is sauce, it is cheese, it is in a triangular shape when you cut it typically, and you put it on a plate and you go nom 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 with a fork and a knife. Yeah, it's a little obtuse and weird, but you still do it. It's still pizza.
Man, you got to look at the functionality of pizza and what it's meant to do, right? And, okay, and I totally understand. Someone who views New York pizza as the end-all be-all, which I do. So there are a bunch of other celebrities and whatnot who have weighed in on this, like now dead Judge Antonin Scalia said that the only true... I don't know why I chose to call him now dead. The late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said that the only true pizza is Neapolitan, and therefore Chicago deep dish pizza is not a pizza. I think Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that a hot dog is a sandwich. Anyways, Supreme Court justices do not get to rule on food opinions. You and I do, Nicole, and we're
That's
just
right.
as impressive as Supreme Court justices. Who'd you clerk for?
I am the RBG of Mythical Kitchen, and you're the Scalia.
I don't want to be Antonin Scalia. I mean,
you're Sotomayor. How's that? You can be Sotomayor.
I'll be Sotomayor. That's totally fine. Okay. If we look at the functionality of what a pizza is,
okay,
it's funny that Antonin Scalia references Neapolitan pizza, and that is the OG pizza, right? There's the Associazione Verita, blah blah blah. There's the whole like governing board that defines things as pizza or not pizza. However, you can't hold talking about Supreme Court. I am not a constitutional originalist. I believe in a living constitution. I believe in a living definition of pizza. And so, like, I don't think Neapolitan is the end-all be-all of pizza. To me, we define pizza across the world. That's the Pizza Huts, the Domino's, these multinational corporations that have now spread to Malaysia and Dubai and all the other continents of the world. I think New York-style pizza is the end-all be-all. Because you know what you eat Neapolitan pizza with? A knife and fork.
Yeah, of course you do.
So people who try and use the knife and fork argument to discredit deep dish pizza as a casserole, I don't know if that's compelling. However, I would look at the total like size and weight and proportions of a deep dish pizza to possibly call it a casserole. And I understand that there's leavened dough and there's sauce and there's cheese, but it's in such a different proportion in a way that makes it completely different from every other style of pizza entirely. I'd be willing to call it a casserole.
But it's not it's just a regional pizza style. Let's just say our lovely, who owns the bazaar?
Jose Andres.
Okay, we all know that Jose Andres did a beautiful rendition on a Philly cheesesteak, right? He had the air bread, and then he had the Wagyu, and then he had the foam of the cheese and whatever. It's still, for all intents and purposes, a cheesesteak, right?
Disagree entirely.
So you think molecular gastronomy takes away from the original, like the original meal that they're serving?
I think it's a form of high art in the way that when René Magritte painted a picture of a pipe and said, "Ceci n'est pas un pipe," this is not a pipe. It's an image that was like an artistic rendering of a pipe in the same way that Jose Andres's crazy Philly cheesesteak, which is a very cool dish, by the way. It's like some sort of aerated dough stuffed with, what is it, like the steak on it is like raw and then they torch it?
I think it's raw Wagyu and then he makes a foam out of cheese and he puts it inside of the air bread. But I've never had it before. Yeah.
I've never had the original dish.
But let's just say I'm going to El Bulli or I'm going to the bazaar, one of these high, or Alinea. We're going to a fancy restaurant, you and I, me and you. And then they have pizza on the menu. And we're like, oh my God, we're going to eat pizza at a fancy place. I wonder what they're going to do to it. And they give us some dehydrated 36-hour yeast crackers with a with a tomato dust and a cheese balloon that you pop and it rains down like toppings all over it.
I've blown cheese balloons.
You have? That's really cool.
That's literally how you make burrata, is you take like stretchy mozzarella and then they used to like just put it over their mouths. Because when Lucas and I went and shot at that burrata and mozzarella factory, the dude was telling us about like working in old school burrata makers back in Italy. And he was like, they used to all smoke cigarettes and then they would blow up the mozzarella. And then he did it. And he's like, and now people say burrata don't taste the same. No, because it no longer tastes like unfiltered Winston's. And I was like, that's hilarious.
That's so interesting. Wow, so the smoker's lungs used to perfume the burrata.
Yeah. I mean, this is just from like one dude, so I don't think it's something that can be like in the historical culinary canon.
That's
still a really cool
anecdote, though.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Anyways, you were saying about the 36-hour dehydrated yeast cracker.
Yeah, but Josh, like if we went there and then we ate it and then we had the sensation like, oh my God, we're eating pizza. Is that still a pizza? Isn't the deep dish pizza just an artist's rendering of pizza instead of it being a high version, let's just say a more of a lower version, a more accessible version, a thicker version, a heartier version?
But there are thicker, heartier versions of pizza that do not go so far as Chicago deep dish, right?
You like what?
At Detroit style, right? You look at, so when Antonin Scalia said that Neapolitan is the only true pizza style, whatever, like I obviously don't think that's true, because you look at the traditions that have come out of Rome and Sicily and other reasons, and then also how immigration and what's that one word? Diaspora, and how the Italian diaspora. Diaspora sounds like a manufactured drug.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take diaspora for my heart palpitations. But anyways, and like how immigration and diaspora has affected pizza styles and whatnot. But you look at, you know, a sfincione, I think it's called, from Sicily, which is like a very thick pizza that some could call deep dish. And then that is actually what is transformed into, say, Detroit style pizza, which I find really interesting that people do tend to pick on Chicago-style deep dish. And I think for a reason, because like Detroit-style pizza, it's very thick, right? Anyone who says that pizza needs to have a thin crust, I don't think is absolutely true. Detroit-style pizza is thick, but it's still like a majority bread. And I think that is maybe where my issue comes down to, is what percentage by weight is it toppings, sauce, and cheese versus dough? Because Chicago-style pizza, that's where it differentiates the most to me. It's not eating with a knife and fork, because Neapolitan pizza is traditionally eaten with a knife and fork. It's not the fact that, you know, there's cornmeal on the crust or that the cheese isn't on the top. To me, it is purely a ratio issue. When pizza needs to have some sort of, like, majority bread dough component, and Chicago deep dish does not allow for that.
But the structure of the dough allows for that, because it creates this vessel, almost like a casserole dish.
Oh, almost. Is it almost like a casserole?
I said almost.
But that's what it is, right?
Have you ever had a pizza casserole? Like someone that just takes a bunch of bread and then puts cheese and tomato sauce on it and like toppings and they put it in the oven? That's not a pizza. That's a pizza casserole. This.
You just described a Chicago. That's what a Chicago deep dish pizza is. It's like a bread. It's a bread bottomed casserole.
No. That's a pie. A deep dish pizza is a pie.
I would maybe accept that, but do you consider all pizzas to be pies? Because there are people, that's another question that a lot of people have asked us. No, all pizzas to me are a form of flatbread. Key issue here is flatbread.
No. Okay. What if you have a pizza and it doesn't have the crust? The crust isn't raised. That's a flatbread. But when I have a pizza and the edges, and I have a distinct, specific visual crust that on the sides, like a nice little reef.
But how are you gonna measure that?
With my eyes. I have eyes. I look at it before I eat it.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Well, it's funny because, like, the term pizza pie, pizza's relatively new to the U.S. Like, obviously, there have been Italian immigrants in the U.S. for a long time, probably making it within their own communities. But a lot of people don't credit the explosion in the U.S. until after World War II, when a bunch of servicemen came home and they were eating pizza in Italy and all that. And so, like, the original sort of name for pizza was pizza pie. To make people understand what the hell it was, right? Because, like, you just say a new foreign word to people in America, they're not going to understand what it is. But if you say, like, oh, this is a pizza pie, they'll understand that it's something you can cut slices out of. But to me, that's a complete misnomer. Like, I don't consider pizza. Yeah, because I don't think the raised crust is necessarily, like, endemic to what a pizza is. I think something like a flatbread that doesn't have a raised crust, and flatbread, like, still has leavening in it, right? Like, you're not just eating a cracker. I would argue, this is interesting then, because like to call Chicago deep dish a pizza, you have to decide what exactly a pizza is. Since St. Louis pizza does not have leavening in the dough, right? St. Louis style pizza, to me, we have a bunch of one stars on Apple Podcasts because I talk crap on St. Louis pizza.
Well, thanks for that, buddy.
I don't care. I don't care how far our rating goes down from the city of St. Louis. St. Louis pizza is, to me, the worst regional pizza style. It is like a Lunchables pizza. In full size. We'll order some from Emo's or Elmo's or whatever it's called online, have them delivered.
I feel like it's only fair. Like, if I'm going to say something's the worst, I need to try it. You know, I can't just piggyback on what you say all the time, you know?
When it's safe to do so, we should fly to St. Louis and sample all of their best delicacies, because they also invented the toasted ravioli, which to me is an absolutely beautiful food.
I love toasted ravioli.
But the pizza to me is somewhat of an abomination because it's essentially like a matzo pizza, right? Like, it's like the pizza that you make if you were wandering the desert.
But that's pizza to
me. No, matzo pizza to me is not a pizza. It's a matzo. Yes, when you use the term matzo in pizza, you are disqualifying it from being a pizza because you're specifying this is on matzo, not on pizza dough. I believe pizza dough does need to be leavened and raised. Which is why
no,
I wouldn't consider.
I don't think, again, it doesn't need to be. Okay, I take back what I said about raised crust. It needs to be a visible crust on the outside. But I know what you're going to say. What if the guy puts the sauce all the way to the corners and some cheese gets on the side? Is that still pizza? Yes, it is. I don't know. In my mind, this is all making sense.
You're contradicting your arguments in real time instead of letting me do it. I love it.
Yeah, because I know what you're going to say. It's one of my talents. I also do the same thing with my fiance. He goes, what am I thinking? And I say, Diglett, the Pokemon. And he's like, how did you know that? So it's the same exact thing. But I'm basically trying to say that the pizza,
like, what is Diglett? Is Diglett an animal that burrows in the ground, or is it like the ground itself? What is Diglett?
Diglett is the little guy that pops his head out in threes, I believe.
No, that's Dugtrio. The evolved form of Diglett was Dugtrio. Diglett's just a single one, but that's what I'm saying. Like, is it like an animal? Because it's kind of just like it's shaped like Dots, the candy. You know what I mean? It's just like a little half sort of cylinder guy. But is it supposed to be like a little animal that burrows, or is it the ground itself that's anthropomorphic?
Oh my gosh, that's a really good question. I like to think that it's the animal. What'd you say, anthropomorphic?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it is an anthropomorphic ground thing.
Can you eat it though?
Can you eat the ground?
No. Well, could you eat a Diglett? What would it taste like?
Could you eat all Pokemon?
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing. You can, there's a whole storyline where Slowpokes, the Pokemon, are being poached for their tails because people eat them. Yeah, no, you can definitely eat Pokemon. What Pokemon would you want to eat the most?
My favorite Pokemon of all time would be Dratini. I don't know if you know who Dratini is.
It's like a dragon, right?
No, I'll show you a picture. I call her. I don't know what the gender of Dratini is. Dratini is the most beautiful Pokemon I've ever seen in my life. And I would probably eat her because she kind of looks like an eel. Mm. And I would probably chop her up and saute her in a little bit of ginger soy glaze marinade situation. How about you?
I think Snorlax. Here's the thing. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of easy sort of analogs you can bring to the eating Pokemon debate. Like, cloister is just a big old oyster. That'd be fun, mm-hmm. right? You could eat toros is just like a wild bull.
Psyduck is a duck.
But no, I would want to go Snorlax because whatever animal Snorlax is, I don't know if it's like a bear. It kind of looks humanoid or like a beanbag, but it's like the Kobe beef of that animal. It spends its entire life sleeping and being super lazy. It's fattened up completely. Whatever that is, I would want to get a tenderloin from Snorlax. Yeah, I know. Dratini evolves into Dragonite, I believe, and I would eat both of them.
I've been watching a lot of Pokemon unwrapping videos. I'm sorry. Wow, what a tangent. This was a deep tangent, man. This is probably the deepest thing we've ever been on.
Back to pizza. So you're talking about the raised crust being a necessity, but like you said, that doesn't necessarily make pizza pizza because like a Detroit-style pizza, you would say is a pizza, right?
Yes.
There's no raised edge crust on Detroit style pizza. The cheese
it covers the sides like a pie.
But the cheese is actually what extends all the way outward. You know what I'm saying? The cheese is the last layer.
There's still a little bit of a lip. There's a distinct lip. It's just instead of it being up and curved like a pizza crust, it's underneath and on the side.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
That makes sense. I see what you're saying. There's like the intentionality of creating a raised crust.
This is all I've learned that this whole podcast is all about intentionality. Basically, what the chef is bringing to you is what it has been decided. Like, he is God. Chef is God. God give food to you, patron. Patron eat what the God give you.
I think you give a man a pizza, he eats for a day.
Yeah.
But you give him a nice, big, hearty pizza casserole, like deep dish pizza from Chicago, he's gonna eat that for like a week. Who can eat a whole deep dish pizza in a day?
I don't know. When's the last time you had deep dish pizza?
It was, there is a chain, I don't even know if it's from Chicago or if they opened in California, but I went after an LAFC match. It's called, God, I feel like I want to look it up. There's one in Long Beach also, but anyways, it's a really good like Chicago style pizza chain. And they both do.
LaMonica's?
No, LaMonica's is New York style. That's in Westwood.
Foreman's Chicago?
No, it's called Rance's. Rance's deep dish pizza about a year and a half ago. It's probably the last time I had deep dish pizza, but I do love deep dish, and it was a huge part of my childhood because like there were two different competing pizza places in my hometown that you would go to like after your last game of like a youth basketball season. And one of them was called Ballpark Pizza, which I absolutely loved. It was New York style, but they had the little basketball video game, you know, where the pop a shot that I was really good at. And I stake a lot of my self-esteem and identity on being good at that game. I would challenge anyone in the world to a pop a shot competition. But anyways, there was another place called Selma's Chicago Deep Dish Place. And what's really funny is I didn't know that you're supposed to eat deep dish with a knife and fork back then. It's like, you've seen pictures of me from my youth basketball days. I was a 5'8", 240-pound, 12-year-old power forward, absolutely crushing it on the court, playing
you
bully
were a
ball
little
like Charles
cutie.
Barkley.
If I was friends with you back then, I would have like definitely like made you my friend, like forced you to be my friend like I did right now. I'd have like, come here, large man, protect me from the bullies, and you would.
I forced you to be my friend by hiring you. That was the whole thing. We didn't need to hire for your position when we brought you on. They were just like, Josh needs a friend. He needs someone to talk to. It's fine. Oh, but no, so I was like a child and I was just like, you know, picking up a half a deep dish pizza and shoving it in my face, just covered in sauce, probably dousing it in ranch as well.
Oh no.
Yeah.
One time I ate a deep dish pizza in the car. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Do you do the thing that I do where you get your hands dirty in the car and then you just wipe it under your seats and then you accidentally reach under your seat? Oh, me neither. No, I don't do that.
No, I lease my cars. I don't purchase them. I would never give a car back with like pizza doo-doo on the bottom of it. I have integrity. I like to put my car in park and have plenty of napkins just in case of emergencies.
I have 15 kombucha bottles rolling around in the backseat floor of my car, and every time I make a turn to get on the freeway, I think they're going to shatter, but they never shatter.
Sounds like a Christmas tree in there.
Back to pizza. I truly don't. I wanted to play devil's advocate. I don't think there is a compelling argument for Chicago deep dish being a casserole. I think it's something that people say. I'm very interested by the fact that people say it, especially someone as smart as Jon Stewart, because it just shows how how much New Yorkers like to insult people. Like pizza is such, he also would probably say that barbecue chicken pizza isn't pizza, which of course it is, right?
Like the toppings, it is.
It's got sauce, it's got cheese, you know, it has other toppings on it, and it's on a pizza dough. That's obviously a pizza, but people from New York, they hold so much of their identity into the $1 foldable big floppy slice that they will go so far as to spread lies and propaganda to call Chicago deep dish casserole. That doesn't make sense. What casseroles have a leavened bread bottom?
None,
right? That's stupid. If anything, could be considered a pie. I do think there is a case to be made that Chicago pizza is not pizza, though. And when we say Chicago pizza, we mean the deep dish, because there are other regional Chicago styles.
Yeah.
But there is a big case to me that this is not a pizza, simply for the ratio aspect of sauce and toppings to the bread. I think you can maybe consider it a pie.
I'm team pie, because pizza pie is a thing in my mind. So calling it anything other than a pizza pie would just be wrong. I think it's wrong.
I think when we're defining our notion of pizzahood, because yes, that's what this is all about. To me, do you agree that pizza needs to have a leavened crust? Or a leavened, sorry, not a leavened crust, but leavened dough to create it?
No.
No.
Because I'm a girl that grew up making pizzas with tortilla bread from Mission Hill, ketchup and shredded cheese in the microwave. I'm not going to front. That's who I was. That's who I still am sometimes.
But do you think you could reasonably call that pizza? Do you think you could open a restaurant? Because I've done that
too. Open a restaurant? No, but I could feed it to a little kid and be like, hey, look, here's pizza. And they're like, thank you.
Our barometer cannot be, can I trick a child with this food? To me, that is not an appropriate argument. You could call that.
That's how I determine all my arguments. Like, will my niece and nephew accept this?
I fully respect that. And I have made a lot of tortilla pizzas in my day. You take a big floppy flour tortilla, you put it in a pan, sauce, cheese, throw it in the oven until it's crispy. It's fine. But to me, that is not pizza. If any restaurant served that calling it pizza, I would not consider it.
What if they put a descriptor in front of the word, like lazy girl pizza?
That's fine. But I think in the same way that if you call a voided check a check, it's serving the opposite purpose of a check, right? It's like an open face sandwich, right? The term, the descriptor open face is literally telling you this is not a sandwich.
Open. Oh, well, yes. Well, yes. Okay. I stand right? down.
Does that? I stand. So okay. I think by calling it like a tortilla pizza or something, then I think, and Jon Stewart kind of hit on this in The Rant, where he said, like, you have to call it deep dish pizza because you know it's not a pizza. We call our pizza pizza, but I don't think that's the case.
But Josh, if I go to a party and I said, hey, I'm bringing pizza and I bring deep dish pizza, do you think people would be upset? I mean, if the party was in New York, maybe.
Flat out, yes, I think people would be upset because especially, right, I think this is a really important point. Like, even if you brought a bunch of like individual tiny Neapolitan pizzas that had wet centers, I think people would also be upset, right? Because if you're bringing, because I think pizza is such like an ultimate sort of game day party food, because you can just pick up a slice with one hand, have a beer in your other hand, or a nice glass of skinny girl rosé, whatever your drink of choice is, and you can eat it portably. But if you told people you're bringing pizza to a party and you brought just a big old sloppy wet deep dish casserole and said like, have fun, they're like, oh, I don't have the appropriate plates and cutlery and napkins for this. This is a party. What are you doing, Josh?
Are you kidding me? I went to a house party long ago and they said, hey, we're going to order pizza. And I'm like, okay, whatever. They're going to get Domino's. I saw like 8 pizzana boxes and I was like, hell yeah. So I guess you just are a man of convenience and you just have one way of thinking. If someone brought me Apollonia's pizza to a pizza party, I'd be like, holy cannoli, like, look at you. If someone brought me a deep dish pizza, I'd be like, oh my God, you are such an overachiever. If someone brings pizzana, it's a done deal, bro.
You have to set your own prejudices aside, though, right?
Like, you this need isn't to about, set your prejudices aside, young prejudice. Man.
I love Chicago deep dish pizza. I love it. Whatever it is, I think it's absolutely delicious. I think it offers something different completely than New York pizza. It's something that I like actively crave. I want to taste 80% toppings. But to me, the fact that I might even love it more than New York style pizza, but to me, that might indicate that it's not pizza because it offers such a wildly different experience, which I'm all for. I just think we need to rename it something. I don't think it's a casserole because, again, bread, there's no bread-based casseroles that I know of, at least, unless you talk about like a, you know, something like a Spanish strata where you're using pre-cooked bread.
Yeah.
But there's no like raw dough.
That's
a bread pudding. Yeah, that's its own category. To me, I believe that Chicago deep dish pizza God help me, should be considered a pie. I think the dough is like just unleavened enough to be considered like a crispy pie dough. And when you cook it, it should be crispy, right? Like a pie dough. Yeah. And then you have a majority, an overwhelming majority by weight and volume of sauce, cheese, other toppings. To me, that constitutes a pie where the filling is a majority of it, but the crust is still important.
The real question is, do you ever take Prilosec OTC after you eat a deep dish pizza?
No, I like to suffer. I like to suffer for my art. But I know the commercial you're talking about where the dude's just sucking down a deep dish. Is it Larry the Cable Guy?
I don't know. I just Googled acid reflux medicine and it was the first thing that came up.
Wait, you preemptively got acid reflux just from talking about Chicago deep dish pizza? If that's not an endorsement of a food, I don't know what is.
Yes, I owe it. 9 days out of 10, I have acid reflux anyways.
Today's PSA for keeping your gut healthy, brought to you by Nicole.
So, we've come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Deep dish pizza is pie.
It's pie. It's neither a pizza nor a casserole. I think you could consider it adjacent to both, but I believe it exists outside of the structures.
All right. Well, can you order me pizza?
Dude, we both complained before this how hungry we are. We both only ate a banana right before this. Yeah, dude, I'm ordering deep dish tonight.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's the time for a segment we call
Opinions are like casseroles.
Everybody's got one,
and they smell like onions.
All right, first up, we got Anani Mama. This is wild, dude. Chips and pizza with frosting, ideally some kind of buttercream. I think it's the salty, savory, sweet thing that gets me. And it's similar to the chili and cinnamon roll combo, which is also divine. So this person's taking pizza, and then they're slathering it in frosting and then covering it in chips, or they're doing chips and frosting separately?
It says chips and pizza with frosting. So in my mind, this person has a pizza, they're crushing chips on it, they're folding it, and they're dipping it into the frosting, like say you would a ranch or a Cholula.
Okay, hold on. Let me think this through. I love ranch on pizza because it's white and creamy, and I think that's delicious. I love honey on pizza as well. You take some of that Mike's Hot Honey, you drizzle it on a spicy pizza. Yeah. I think that's delicious. What is frosting but a combination of the sweetness of honey and the creaminess of ranch?
Sugar. Sugar.
But you got the
vanilla.
Sugar from the honey. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to have vanilla. You think there's any real vanilla in the Duncan Hines white frosting? No. That's too expensive.
What does white frosting taste like if not vanilla? Just white?
Just sugar. Yeah, there's vanilla flavored frosting, and then there's white frosting, which tastes like white.
What does white taste like?
Exactly. No. This combination vaguely disgusts me. Frosting and pizza, that's a no for me, but I love that someone's doing that. And I love snacking on canned frosting.
Yeah, I can't get my head around the frosting, but if it was maybe something else that was like a little bit less intense, I don't know what that is. Might
Nutella.
Work. No. Chocolate and tomato. Ugh. No, thank you.
It tastes like vomit. That tastes like vomit. It's pre-vomit.
All right. Rebecca DeReca says,
great name.
Green peas are an acceptable addition to tuna salad. Yeah. any way you can shove veggies into something where they don't belong, I'm for it. I love green peas. I think they're delicious and you should throw them wherever you want, especially in your tuna.
Do you know that there's like a lot of people who really hate green peas?
No, I guess because I like never grew up with like hating a vegetable that much. You know, people like, ugh, broccoli or ugh, Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. I never had that.
No, me neither. The only thing I really hated when I was young was raw tomato. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't get past the texture of the seeds, but now I absolutely love tomato. And I've always loved peas. Peas have always been one of my favorites, even though I grew up eating canned peas, which are just like, mm-hmm. it's like a puree in molecular gastronomy spherical form because they're so mushy. But now I love using frozen peas and throwing them in literally anything. Like I was making just like a kind of kitchen scrap lasagna because I had lasagna noodles and a bunch of kitchen scraps to use up. And I had some like bacon and chicken and mushrooms. And I just like threw a bunch of green peas in that.
Yeah.
And then posted a photo of me eating this lasagna covered in ranch dressing because you eat pizza with ranch. Why not lasagna with ranch? And I thought people were going to be disgusted with the ranch dressing, but they were just like, who puts peas in a lasagna? You are disgusting. And I was like, no, it's good.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nicole, for always accepting me for who I am.
You're welcome.
All right. We're going to go to CassieBear320. I sometimes like to rip and dip, mostly but not exclusively, the crusts of my PB&J sandwich and milk as one would do a cookie. Lots of people think it's gross. I think their palate is underdeveloped and can't handle my genius. I fully agree with this. I will dip a peanut butter and whatever sandwich because I mostly eat peanut butter, banana, and honey. Although the other day I ran out of honey, so I made simple syrup that I flavored with molasses and vanilla to give me a drizzle for it because I'm a fancy young boy.
Are you going to make a cocktail with that later?
Oh, yeah. That'd be good in an old-fashioned.
You should. Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? What was it? Molasses and what?
Molasses and vanilla.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. You should absolutely make a cocktail with that. Wow.
I have bitters. Good. I have whiskey cubes. Yeah, we're doing an old fashioned later.
Yeah. Do it.
I love dipping my sandwiches in milk. It's like a janky Tres Leches cake. You get to like suck that milk out of the bread and you get the little bit of sweetness from the jelly or honey or whatever's on there. I think they can't handle your genius, Cassie, but we can.
I appreciate your genius. I wish I was this genius. What I do, something that I learned from one of my first culinary jobs, shout out to Yvonne, one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. She would take a slice of chocolate cake and saturate it in milk. And she would call it milk cake. She'd be like, milk cake. And she was really funny. She was like one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. And she's like, try this. And I'm like, what is it? She goes, milk cake. And I'm like, bro, okay.
That's just uno leche cake.
Yeah. And like literally I was like, whoa, this is delicious. So sometimes I eat milk cake and I think of Yvonne because she was my favorite.
I'm down with milk cake.
Okay. Let's see what's next. HPF and M therapy. Favorite meal. White rice. Yellow curry chicken with diced white onions. Raisins. Peanuts. Banana slices. Desiccated coconut. Pineapple tidbits. Okay. This sounded like a regular, you know, curry plate. Uh-huh. And then it got into ambrosia salad territory real quick. All you're missing is some marshmallows and a Midwest accent.
I know. I think this is a Swede. I think this is a Nordic person because that, for whatever reason. So I had a friend from Sweden, shout out to Ida Storm, who once made me her favorite meal, which was what she called chicken curry, but she didn't even have any curry powder. She was out. So that eliminated any amount of curry from it. But mm-hmm. she put banana and canned pineapple in just like a chicken saucy dish. And I think there was like yogurt mixed in as well. But like to her, that was chicken curry.
Interesting.
And you see that on like Swedish pizzas as well, where they'll put like banana and pineapple on a shrimp pizza with curry powder.
Yeah, we've had that before.
Yeah, for whatever reason, this like weird tropical fruit and curry powder thing became a combination in Sweden. Maybe I'm misreading it and this is just HPF and M Therapy's own creation. I've had it. It's not my favorite thing. I think it's a regionally defined taste that I have not quite acquired because that is a lot of fruit in a meat sauce.
It's a lot of
even
fruit.
I do love meat fruit, but this is a bridge too far.
Too much fruit for the meat fruit.
Too much fruit. All right. We got Leah was here. Ooh, this is a spicy one. Any pizza that doesn't have red sauce isn't a pizza.
Shut up, Meg. Shut up, lady.
Well, I mean, this is a perfect example of what we talked about where pizza, since there's so much like regional identity tied up in it, you're just willing to like say lies, right?
This is a lie.
I mean, if you consider that pizza is an Italian, you know, invention, and that even predates Italian statehood, which is only in the 1800s, like, tomatoes didn't even make its way out of North America until, you know, like the mid 1500s. And so, like, people have been making pizzas for a long, long, long time that never had any sort of tomatoes. They didn't even freaking exist. Like, you look back at street vendors in ancient Rome. I mean, they were making things that look like pizzas today. And then you look at the Alfredo chicken pizza from Olive Garden. That's absolutely delicious. It ain't got any red sauce. It's definitely a pizza.
Yeah, absolutely delicious. I think whoever says this stuff is myopic. Is that the correct word? Myopic.
Myopically.
You are myopic. And that is a good word to put on your Scrabble board. So get wrecked.
Study for the SATs, y'all. Standardized testing is a scam, but you still got to do them.
Protohuman says naked wings dipped in sauce are better than wings tossed in sauce. All the flavor plus crispy skin. It depends how important crispiness is to you, because I, like Josh, like the saturated, crispy yumminess that comes with, like, a chicken wing that has the crispiness and the saturated sauciness on it. So I don't really agree, because I like that that texture and sensation a lot.
I totally agree with you. I actually get really mad when someone advertises something as a buffalo wing and it is not completely doused in sauce. To me, that's like, that's part of the pleasure of a buffalo wing, is you get all that like butter and the hot sauce that soaks into the chicken fat and the skin, and then it gets smeared on your face. No. And then you get to dip that into ranch, and you can't dip something into two sauces. I'm opposed to that ethically. So no,
who
I'm not
says
down
you can't?
I don't. There's something about it, like cross contaminating the sauce. Like I'm saying, like dipping the same bite into two different sauces, then you cross contaminate it. It's something I do with ketchup and ranch and. Ranch and hot sauce. Okay, I guess I do it a lot.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
My point still stands. All right. At Ethan Yeats, tuna salad made with Miracle Whip, of course, must be eaten with Frito scoops like it's a dip. Yeah, this is absolutely spot on. One, put some damn respect on the Miracle Whip name. I don't care if it's not allowed to be called mayo. It is a coleslaw-flavored aioli, and it is absolutely delicious. Two, tuna salad, to me, if you look at tonnato sauce, right, the Northern Italian tradition, like, it should be loose and dippable, in my opinion. I think tuna salad is more of a sauce than a salad itself, and I do believe it should be eaten as a dip, even if it's with toast points or just putting a slice of bread in your palm and pawing at a tub of tuna salad. I think it's a better dippable food than it is a sandwichable food.
No. Bro, First of all, I would like to quote Kanye West, mayonnaise colored Benz, I push Miracle Whips. That's all I wanted to say. First and foremost.
I've never heard that line.
Really?
That's incredible.
Line. Yeah, he's a real artist. I guess I just don't realize the difference between mayonnaise and Miracle Whip. Like, I haven't done a side-by-side comparison before, so maybe that can be our next experiment in the Mythical Kitchen. And then I love tuna salad. I grew up eating tuna salad in everything because I was a good kosher girl, and then I started eating pork, and I was a bad girl. But, no, I mean, I like taking chips and dipping it into tuna salad, so I agree. But, again, I guess I'm just not a Miracle Whip girl, I guess. I don't know.
Yo, my grandma makes a tuna dip. It's like her like 1970s party recipe that for whatever reason has gelatin, but it's not like a jello thing, but there's gelatin in the recipe to give it this just weird thick mouthfeel and condensed. It's like tuna, gelatin, and condensed cream of mushroom soup and mayonnaise and sour cream. And it is absolutely delicious. Shout out to Granny for the mushroom tuna salad dip.
That made my acid reflux act up. All right, last one. Cosmetic Nomad 42 says, do drink opinions count? Yes, they do. Because if so, I like mixing Coke with Sprite.
you're crazy. Cosmic, you're wild. I like you, but you're wild.
I've never done this before. Okay,
really?
What I've done before is I've mixed them all like at, like, you know, the store. The
McDonald's
being the food store that I'm thinking of.
I have mixed Coke with Sprite, and it weirdly tastes like cream soda to me. It has this, like, vanillin quality to it. But I am fascinated by the flavor chemistry behind, like you said, when you just run your cup through every single option at a soda fountain.
Yeah.
There are three flavors that come through. You get the aspartame from the, whatever diet drink was on there.
Uh-huh.
You get the scent of root beer, and then you get the citric acid from lemonade. So it's like everything else doesn't matter. If you just combine Diet Coke, root beer, and lemonade, that would taste like the entire panoply, the smorgasbord. Wow. Of soda selections, and I'm fascinated by it.
You know that one random thing that you forgot to mention, Josh?
Huh?
That like high C stuff, that fruit juice stuff that's like in there.
I think high C, they pulled it out of McDonald's officially.
That's wrong.
I used to prefer that to orange juice with my McDonald's breakfast when I was a kid. That's how like nutritionally devoid I was, where I tasted real juice and I was like, ugh, gross. And then I had just the orange sugary high C that's just corn syrup, citric acid, and food dye. And I was like, yes, this is what a drink should taste like. And I stand by that. It's delicious. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog's a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizade with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
For more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube, where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram @Mythical Kitchen.
We'll see you next time. Can I eat lunch now?